bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that you forgave our sins in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that because of that, we can gather here today. We can call you Father, and we can learn the lessons of life that you have provided for us through your word. We know your word is true. Father, minister to us. We are a needy people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Joshua this morning in chapter 15. We're going to look at an individual by the name of Aksa in the Bible. Aksa is the name of Caleb's daughter. I don't understand how this worked out in history. We studied Abigail, and Abigail is a very popular name. I don't know why Aksa is not a very popular name, because both those individuals were very strong in the promises of God and look forward to future blessings. But you don't find parents naming their little girl Aksa these days. So maybe somebody could be the first. I don't think Abigail is going to go on that one, no. See, Branch, you should have called her Aksa instead of Abigail. Joshua 15, verse 16. And Caleb said, "He who attacks Kirjath-Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife." So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. Now it was so, when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. She's mentioned 5 times in the Bible. I've outlined this like this: her ancestry, her angel, her attitude, her actions, and her acquirement. You're put into this life and you're born under a certain set of circumstances. You have parents. What is life going to be? More important than that, what will God think of you? Aksa. Her ancestry. The family you're born in gives you an advantage. Really does. Sometimes it's not even a complicated thing. I was born in a family and we had a set of encyclopedias at the house. When you're going through school and you have a set of encyclopedias, you have more of an advantage than people that don't. It can be simple things. But when you look back at your life, your ancestry can have an effect. My grandmother was a teacher. I had 2 aunts that were teachers that made a difference. Life can do that. Aksa had tremendous ancestry because Caleb was her father. And Caleb was a tremendous man of faith. Now later on, like we studied the other week, Nabal was one of his descendants, and that man was a fool. Well, you never know what's going to come, good or evil. But I'll tell you, some of that good can come because of ancestry. And Aksa had that kind of ancestry. She was a Hebrew, the tribe of Judah. Caleb was her father. Does that make a difference? Absolutely makes a difference. Caleb was a mountain man. Caleb said to Moses, "I want that mountain. When we get there, that mountain, I saw it. Oh, I know the people live there. I know they're giants, but I saw the mountain, and that's where I want to be. It's where I want to raise my family, have my children. That's where I want to die." Caleb was a man of faith. So Aksa grew up in that home. I think Caleb was strong spiritually. I think Caleb was strong physically. And I think that that girl was strong spiritually, and I think she was a Jack Russell physically. Speaking. It's not about that, is it? It's not about ancestry, but that can be a benefit to us. Secondly, her angel. Now, some people say we have a guardian angel. I don't know if we have a guardian angel or not. I think my guardian angel would probably have to be on Prozac or something to continue being with me, but I don't know. But I said her angel because I think, just speaking, say metaphorically, or he was her angel. I think when she was a little girl growing up, she looked at her dad, and her dad had that kind of faith and that kind of tenacity and drive, because God had promised them certain things, and he believed that God was going to come across with that. So I think she was really, really a chip off the old block, because she had him as her father. Now, he must have known his daughter very, very well. This place, this city, he could have taken easily. I mean, Caleb could have taken the whole mountain. It wasn't a problem. But Caleb must have looked at his daughter and thought, the man that gets her, I want him to be like me. The man that gets her, I want him to have the faith that I have. The man that gets her, I want him to have the belief that I have. So he came up with a plan. And the plan was that particular city was going to be taken by a man who wanted his daughter for his wife. And Othniel stepped up to the plate. I'll do that. I'll take that. Kirjath Sefer, it was just part of the plan to find that man. Who would know who it would be? Nick, you have two daughters. Nick was coming upstairs a while back with these two daughters. I was watching them come up the stairs. They're cute. They're smart. And someday they're going to be 16, 17 years old. And I said, Nick, what are you going to do 13 years from now? Somebody comes to your house, some boy. Nick said something. I can't remember what he said, but he said something. It's like he's thinking about it. He's going to have a plan. You got to have a plan. Now's the time to have a plan, especially when you have a daughter like that. I mean, some guy could ruin her life, or some guy could have a better life because of her. But it has to be the right individual. We call that an incentive plan. You see that advertised all the time. All those leftover Toyotas from 2019. They'll say, no interest. Well, people, oh, no interest. No interest. Or how about this one? Buy it now and no payments until 2020. Whoa, that's incentive. Or you like this one, free shipping. So Caleb thought to himself, the man who takes that city and defeats those people is a man that can have my daughter for his wife. That's a good thing. He knew that that girl could build a man. That girl could better a man. That girl. Because that girl had the same faith that he had. Dad knew her. When you're walking with the Lord like that and you've experienced 40 years of wilderness with unbelievers, and you've come into the land and you've experienced what it's like to have victory, you want that for your children. He wanted that for his daughter. I was telling Paula, Axa was the first one out of the box. When we were in St. John, we had a cat. And the cat, they're pregnant. So the cat had kittens. And we discovered at delivery time who fathered those kittens. Because the kittens were Manx. A Manx cat doesn't have a tail. So the litter of kittens, I don't know, six or seven kittens, the litter of kittens, some had half a tail, some had a whole tail, and some had no tail, like a real Manx cat. So anyway, this is a new experience for us. So the cat had the kittens. We had this box, and the litter of kittens was in the box. The box was probably 12, 16 inches high, and mother cat was taking care of the kittens. The first cat out of the box was Freddy. Now, he wasn't Freddy until he got out of the box. But when he got up out of there and he dropped himself down the other side of the box, I said, that's Freddy. So I grew up with Freddy. Freddy was tough. Freddy wasn't afraid. So I called the cat Freddy. I said, honey, we're going to get rid of the mother. And we're going to get rid of the other cats. But we're keeping Freddy. Because that's Freddy. Freddy wanted more than just what was in the box with the other cats. The other ones are just satisfied there, but not Freddy. So Freddy grew. And Freddy grew. And Freddy grew. And because Freddy had no tail, he looked like a lynx. He looked like a bobcat. And Freddy was smart. Freddy was intelligent. He didn't have to catch mice because the cat next door caught mice. All he had to do was go over next door and bring the mouse over to our house and put it on the porch. We lived on Brown's Point, and Mr. Grant was there. And one day, I said, you know, Mr. Grant, I said, my cat's a real mouser. Mr. Grant scowled, and I wondered what was coming. No, he's not. I said, he's not? He said, no. He said, your cat steals from my cat. He says, my cat's a mouser. My cat catches the mouse, brings him home, puts him on the porch. Your cat comes over, takes him off the porch, and goes over and puts him on your porch. What could I say? Because I knew Freddy. That's Freddy. I knew Freddy. Freddy weighed about 15 pounds. When Freddy would catch a squirrel, I would grab Freddy and force a catch-and-release policy on him. Let go of the squirrel. Let go of the squirrel. Let go of the squirrel. I think I'd have a different outlook on that now. One day I was watching Freddy. He was out in the woods. He was watching a bird hopping down through the woods. And the bird would get behind a tree, like on the way down, and Freddie would move to another tree. And he'd watch the bird, and the bird would get behind another tree, and Freddie would move over here. Freddie knew that that bird was going to intersect with him right there. And I was watching this, and sure enough, that bird came right there, and Freddie was right there, and he grabbed that bird. And I thought, I'm not going to take that bird out of your mouth, because you are one smart cat. I think Axa was one smart individual. I think Axa had a way of looking at things that most people in her generation didn't have. She was really something, and Caleb knew that she was really something. And Caleb wanted somebody for her that was just like him. I don't know if Branch was like that or not, but Caleb was like that. Yeah, and that's what he got, Othniel. So when you say this, I said her angel. Yeah, you got a father like that? You got a father that looks after you like that? You got a father that wants only the best for you? You got a father that knows that someday you're going to grow up and the boys are going to see you and all that kind of stuff? And spiritually speaking, you want somebody that's going to make you progress and not lose in this life? Oh yeah, that's an angel. Yeah, you got a father like that, you got an angel. Thirdly, her attitude. When you look at that passage, you see her attitude. It's all over the place. Her attitude is, go for it. Her attitude is, excel. Her attitude displays tenacity. Get your teeth into something and stick with it. Go back and scan that passage. She jumps off her donkey and she goes up before her father and says, listen, Dad, I'd like to have some more. I'd like for you to bless me, and I'd like to have this land over here, and I'd like to have some water over there. I'll bet you when he saw her coming, he thought, look, just like J.U., driving furiously. She's going to jump off that donkey even before he gets those 4 feet stopped. Boom! There she is. What do you want, Axa? I want more of what God's given to us. That's what I want. More of what God's given to us. More of what God's promised us. That's what I want, Axa. We were in Bangor a couple years ago, and we were at a soccer game. The soccer game involved 5 to 6 year olds. The city of Bangor had enough children in that age group to have 7 teams or so. We were at Rose's house, and her granddaughter, Ava, was playing soccer that day. Would we want to go see the game? So we went. Hot day, like 90 degrees. I mean, brutal. Kids out there playing soccer. So I'm watching Ava playing soccer. She's 5. She's out there playing soccer. Listen, I mean, not because it's Rose's granddaughter or anything. She was the best soccer player on that field. That little girl had one thing in mind. That ball goes in that net. And it doesn't matter who's between the ball and the net. That ball is going to go in that net. And she wasn't like, look how great I am. She didn't have that kind of personality. This is the game. I'm a player, and I'm going to put that ball in that net. She was better than the boys. And better than the girls. I mean, she was good, but she had a good attitude. She had, well, no pun intended, she had a goal in mind. You know something? Axa had a goal in mind. When Axa came there after meeting her future husband or knowing her future husband, she came back to Dad and she said, you know, Dad, I want more. I want more of what God's promised us. He said, yeah, you can have it. I think Dad knew she was going to come. I think Dad knew that she was going to ask for more, and he was perfectly willing to give her more. Yeah. His name was Deion Primetime Sanders. He was an outfielder for the Atlanta Braves and cornerback for the Atlanta Falcons. He's the only athlete to have hit a major home run and scored an NFL touchdown in the same week. Sanders grew up on the mean streets of Fort Myers, Florida, where exposure to some would-be athletes spurred him to make a success of himself. He explains it like this. He said, I call them Idas. If I'd have done this, I'd be making $3 million today. If I'd have practiced a little harder, I'd be a superstar. They were as fast as me when they were kids, but instead of working for their dreams, they chose drugs and a life of street corners. When I was young, I had practice. My friends who didn't went straight to the streets, and they never left. The moment after school is the moment we need to grab. We don't need any more Idas. It's as simple as that. It was available to her. She was there. She took it. It's not complicated. Some people just think, It's going to just fall in my lap. It's going to fall out of the sky. I don't have to do anything. Oh, yeah. You do have to do some things. Not only do you have to do some things, but others have to do some things, too, to bring you to that place. That's where she was. Somebody said attitudes are capable of making the same experience either pleasant or painful. It depends on your attitude. She had an attitude about the promises of God. She had an attitude about the future. She had an attitude about her father. She had an attitude about her husband. Oh, yeah, she had an attitude, but it wasn't a bad attitude. It was a good attitude. Ed Howe said, if you don't learn to laugh at trouble, you won't have anything to laugh at when you're old. It's kind of true, you know. If you don't have the right attitude about trouble now, what are you going to do when real trouble comes? It's not funny, but it's true. Because you talk to people who are in those last years of life, and they'll tell you, I thought it was going to get easier. I don't know who told them that, but that's what they thought. No, it's not going to get easier. It's just life. And chances are it's going to get harder. Are you ready for that? What will make it doable? Attitude. With her, it was her attitude towards the promises of God. With us, it's our attitude towards the promises of God. Not for land, because God hasn't promised us land. Not more land, but more of the Lord. And the question is, how much of the Lord do you want? Some people just want a little bit of the Lord. Maybe go to church a couple times a year, you know what I mean? That'd be a little bit of the Lord. Some people want more of the Lord because they want the Lord in the struggles and trials of life that they're going through. So they want more of that. So they're going to spend more time in the Word. They're going to spend more time in prayer. They're going to spend more time in fellowship with other believers. They're going to spend more time learning because they want more of the Lord. We should want more of the Lord. We should want to be like Axa. This was promised to us. We want it. Do you want it? You want the Lord in your life? Really? You want the Lord in your life? See, we're studying through the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, and the problem was they get tired of God. Don't get tired of God. God is the last one you should get tired of. Don't get tired of the manna. Don't get tired of what comes down from heaven. Don't ever do that. It's detrimental to your health. I don't know how many of you smoke e-cigarettes. I'm sorry, but you just... How do you smoke an e-cigarette intelligently? Don't do that. But I'll tell you something worse than that is not wanting more of the Lord. That's worse. Not wanting more of the Lord is more detrimental to your health and your children's health and your descendants' health than smoking e-cigarettes. I said if you had a choice between the two, think about it. Puff on that one. Her actions towards her father. She knew where the blessing came from. The blessings came from him. And you know something? We have a father too. And our blessings come from him. And we should be coming before him. And we should be talking to him about his promises. And we should be talking to him about our needs. Because he's quite a father. Towards her father, towards her husband, she's the one I told him, you got to go ask dad more land. You can do that. You know why he could do that? Because he was just like her father. She knew her father. Now she has a husband that's just like him. And you know what? They're all on the same page. Isn't that nice? Father, son-in-law, daughter, all on the same page. Doesn't get better than that. Oh, yeah, it does. Father, daughter, son-in-law, grandchildren, all on the same page. That's better than that. Isn't that good? Oh, man, that would be good. She knew that. Her actions towards her father, her actions towards her husband, her action towards her situation. You see, that's the situation you're in. When you are Aksa and you are Caleb's daughter, that's the situation you're in. When you are the first generation in the promised land, that's the situation you're in. You don't live in Eagle Lake, Maine in 2019. You live in the promised land. It's a little bit different when you live in Eagle Lake, Maine. But there are still promises for you in Eagle Lake, Maine. But what about the promises? So she had an attitude towards those promises. You see, we as people here, we have attitude towards the promises of God. Some have a good attitude, some have a bad attitude, some are indifferent. I think Acts is a good example. I think this woman can teach us a lot about belief. And then she had an attitude towards the future. You see, here's how it works. One generation passes away, and another generation takes its place. That's how it works. And what that next generation might do is greatly influenced by what this generation does. So she had an attitude towards the future. There'll be others. They'll need land. There will be offspring. They'll need water. I'm going to have it ready for them. What about the next generation? Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? I asked this question of different pastors. Never got a good answer, but why are these old line denominations changing their name? Why are they changing their name? I mean, if they had that name and it worked years ago, why are they changing it? Or did something happen? Was something not passed down to the next generation? I don't know. What if you didn't even try to pass it on to the next generation? Or if it's not important to you, why should it be important to the next generation? What if the kids look at us and say, you only have an interest in the Word of God on Sunday or some Sundays, and you want us to have an interest in this? It's painful. We got to sit there for an hour and listen to who knows what and all that hot air. Don't need it. Pass it on. They say in the relay when you're running, and I've never done that, but they say in the relay when you're running, the critical moment, it's not just the speed and the agility and the energy and all that, but the critical moment is when the baton is being passed from one to the other. That's the critical moment. Because if you drop it then, it's over. You're a loser. The critical moment is when we take faith and we pass it on to the next generation. It's a critical moment. For us, for them, we need to see the seriousness of it. AXA, just a chip off the old block. AXA, you can tell the depth of the feelings that Caleb had towards his daughter and having the right mate for her, that this might continue what he had. When he came into the land, the first time as a spy, her actions, and then her acquirement lastly. I wasn't sure because I needed an A because I was making this outline. And I thought, what she acquired? Acquirement. Is that a word? So I went to look it up. It's a word. Never used it before. It's the first time I ever used it. But acquirement is a word. Yeah, acquirement is what you acquire in life. Yeah, it's the stuff you gather up. Life is full of stuff we gather up. You think of that. You move from one place to the other and you get a tractor, trailer, truck, and you get all this stuff. And say, what do we get this stuff for? Thought we might use it someday. Throw it away. Give it to other people who need to put it away somewhere because they might need it someday. It's just stuff. So it's acquirements, what you acquire. Her acquirement, land. Why? Because that's what God promised those people. God promised those people land. There was a connection with God in that land that they had because God promised them that. With us, it's not land. With us, it's the Lord. But God promised us that. And God promised us that we should seek the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. God promised us that. There are many promises for us as Christians. But do we go there and find out what they are? And then after we find out what they are, do we acquire them? Do we make them part of us? More water. She said, Dad, we got the land, but we could use some water. Yeah. You know what I think? I think Dad knew that she needed water. So why didn't you just give it to her? Something about our children asking us something. Yeah. Something about that. Just something good about that. He said, you can have water. Remember the story of the woman at the well and her encounter with the Lord and their discussion about the water drawn from that well? He told her, you get water out of that well, you'll thirst again. But the water I give you, you'll never thirst. And he was talking about the water of life. Good illustration there for us. What about that? Water of life. Her acquirement. Just give it some time. Could you please just do this today? Could you just get by yourself today away from stuff? I know you can be busy with Facebook, keeping up with things. I know there are 160 channels to choose from. I know you could also have the movie channel. And I know that people are coming and going in and out of your life and the phone's ringing. I know that. You got text messages. I understand that. But just today, get away from it all. Get by yourself and ask yourself, what have I acquired since I've been on this planet? And what have I acquired since I've been on this planet? Am I going to take with me? There was a funeral director who told me this story. He was asked to make the funeral arrangements for this lady. He didn't know these people, but he did as was requested. Before the funeral director could cover the casket with ground, the only son of this woman asked to have some time alone. The undertaker stood some distance away in the corner of the cemetery as the young man stood before the hole where the casket had gone down. He observed the son as he pulled money out of his wallet and proceeded to tear it into pieces. Take out some more money, tear it up, throw it in the grave. Oh, he thought she needed money to get into heaven? No. No, that's not what he was thinking, and that's not what he was saying. You know what he was saying? Mother, you thought this was important. Mother, you thought this was good for me. Boy, mother, you had it all wrong. Ho! Ho! Whoa! Mother, you didn't acquire anything. What you thought you acquired is worthless to me. What have you acquired? So we go off into eternity. You don't take anything with us. I don't know how this came up this morning, but Rose stayed at our house. And when Rose stays at our house, sometimes things just come out of nowhere. Somehow we were talking about, oh, it was a name. And I said, that reminds me of CPOs. And they said, what's CPO? I said, a CPO. Thelma, you know what a CPO is? Well, sure, it's 1966, 1968. And if you're going to be in style, you're wearing a CPO. So I said, I'm sure that was CPO policy. I don't think it was CPO. It was something else. I said, that was CPO. I'll go Google that. So I went and Googled that. Yeah, CPO. CPO comes from Chief Petty Officer. It's a jacket that has pockets in it, and it was very popular in the 60s, late 60s. So if you wore a CPO, you really had something. I have no idea where my CPO is. It's probably right next to your hula hoop. But it's a funny thing that something you acquired so long ago is so meaningless today. Meaningless. Your 8-track tape player. Did you put that in the new car? Ricky, you put an 8-track tape in your car? Even Ricky wouldn't do that with a Toyota. It's gone. It's gone. It's all gone. So when you leave here, you're taking nothing. 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 Everything that's advertised on TV, you're taking nothing with you when you leave here except what you've done for Christ. Goes with you for how long? For eternity. Think of that. AXA. Yeah, I don't know why it's not a good name. People don't use that. Othniel. There with all the guys. Othniel. That guy's eye on AXA for sure. But what chance does he have? Then all of a sudden, Caleb announces to all these young men, whoever takes this city can have my daughter for a wife. I mean, never thought the opportunity would come. Never thought that. And all of a sudden, the opportunity is right there. And all he has to do, put on his sword, gather his group of fighters, take the city. I don't know how he looked at it like, hey, if I die, I die. But this opportunity to have her for my wife, I am not going to let it go. To have the church as his bride, he had to go to Calvary. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, not my will, but yours be done. They took him and they stripped him and they put a robe on him. They made him look foolish. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They led him through the street, made him carry his cross so he couldn't carry it anymore. They drove nails into his hands. They drove nails into his feet. They hung him up between heaven and earth. People mocked him for the church. Gave himself for the church. Church, the bride of Christ. The expense to get it. He loves the church. He loves the church so much he gave his life for it. By the way, what are your thoughts of the church? I know what his thoughts are in the church. Just like Othniel's thoughts about AXA. Othniel became a judge in Israel. I mean, not like Judge Judy or something like that. A judge was more of a leader, more like governor. But Othniel became governor, judge. And you think, because of him? Because of his training? Because of his upbringing? Because of the tribe he belonged to? Well, that maybe had some influence. But boy, oh boy, I'll bet you, just knowing women the way I do, she'd be like, you know, Othniel, you can do this. I'll do the paperwork, make sure the spelling is right and everything on there. But I think you can do this. That's Aksa. That's the kind of woman she was. He became a judge. He had incentive because of her. Faith. There's a word, faith. Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith. When you look at Aksa, you see substance and you see evidence. That's faith. Caleb had that when he came into the land, and he had to wait 40 years for the substance and the evidence. But he knew it was coming. Now he has Aksa, and she has Othniel, and he has substance, and he has evidence. Don't let anybody fool you. The real thing, there's substance. And the real thing, there's evidence. Shows itself, because it's based on the promises of God. That's what Aksa teaches us. Words like that. Words like courage. Courage. It's a good word. Boldness. Just rose to the occasion. Aksa just rose to the occasion. Caleb, he just rose to the occasion. Othniel, he just rose to the occasion. They are people who rise up to the occasion. It's there. It's offered to them and they take it. They're not idus of life. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority, Jesus said, has been given to me. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go. He says, I have all the authority. And I'm asking you, go. Aksa, she went. Claimed it. That's what we need to do as Christians. We just need to go. We need to set up shop somewhere and do business. What's our business? The fellow was in charge of a company. You saw that advertisement on TV years ago, and I thought it was a good advertisement. There are so many dumb ones, but that was a good one. The owner of the company had his tickets in his back pocket, and one of the guys said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to see somebody that had broken the contract. He would no longer have a contract with them. He was going to see him to do business. He's saying, we forgot what our business was. He said, I'm going to talk to that man, see if I can get his business back. He said, the problem wasn't the man. We're the problem. So he said, I'm going. I said, wow, it's a good advertisement. Because Jesus said to us as a church, go. Set up shop. Do business. What's our business? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. It's our business. Baptize people. It's our business. It's our business. It's the business we're in. That's the business we inherited from our Father. How's business? When's the last time you prayed for somebody? How's business? When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? Hey, how's business? When's the last time you really sacrificed for the gospel? How's business? It's about business. Set up somewhere. Stay there. Do that. Somewhere. You, your home, what you have, that's all for this. The propagation of the gospel. How's it going? How's business? I got to throw this in here. I know it's not good, but you can't watch the news anymore. Because there's so much hatred. The thing is that these people on both sides of these issues, so adamant, so angry, so frustrated for something that's not going to last. It's not going to last. Things come and they go. The pendulum swings from left to right all the time. We're here such a short period of time. What if we had that kind of drive? What if we had that kind of thinking and that kind of motivation for the gospel? It could shake this world. The church lost it. They lost it. Dropped the ball. Don't even know where the ball is anymore. Get back to reading the scripture. Get back to praying. Get back to witnessing. Let the world go. Let it go. Listen, you don't need to know what everybody in the world is doing. You need to know what God's doing. That's what you need to know. What's God doing? And what does God expect from you? That's all you need to know. You're good. And you can have something. You can have peace. You can have assurance. You can have satisfaction. How's that sound, huh? Peace. How's that sound? Assurance. Satisfaction. Purpose. Those are good words. Get away from the other stuff. Agitation. That's not a good word, agitation. Doctor will tell you, agitation, make your blood pressure go up. Got a pill for that, but there's another way of doing it. Oh, I wonder if anyone is going to call his or her daughter Axa. Somebody should. Because she was something. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you for truth. May it motivate us for a higher plane. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.